Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome. This morning is Christ the King Sunday, so it is many things today, and one of that many things is this is the end of our church year. So it's also a New Year's type celebration. And in light of all of what today means, we're going to begin this morning not up front, but at our baptismal font to remember where our year begins and ends and where our lives begin and end, at these promises and these waters. So I invite you now all to stand if you can stand, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you, and to face our baptismal font. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the water. And by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight.
Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
To you we give honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Yeah.
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever.
Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the spouse of sin, may be united on the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we'd like to invite our children forward for a brief children's message. How are you all today? I think it's the first time I've seen Charlie walk all the way out. So good job, buddy. Well, today's a special day. I mean, every Sunday is a special day. I know it's always special on Sunday. Today is especially special, special Sunday. You know what's special about today's special Sunday? No, it's, well, number one, our church year ends today. So this is like New Year's celebration. So you can go home, when you go home back to your parents, say, hey, we have to celebrate tonight because it's the end of the year. It's New Year. So you get the parents, thank you later. But secondly, we also call this Christ the King Sunday, because it's the Sunday where we remember that Christ is the King. But let's think about what that means. What do you think that means? What do we use to symbolize the king? What does the king wear?
Crown.
A crown. King got a crown. Did anybody hear that? Da-da-da-da in the audience? That's the king, right? The king reigns, right? Now what? Where does the king reign from?
A throne.
Where does the king live?
Castle.
In a castle or a palace. Does the king get all the great food?
Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes the king's really big, right? The king a really great big sword sometimes, right? And armor, right? The king is the head of the army. The king is the powerful one. But is that what it means that Christ is a king? No. So it's the opposite. It's like Christ's kingship is the opposite of all we expect. I know. This is the opposite. Exactly. It's like an opposite day. So like where a king will live in a palace, where does Christ live? Lives in our hearts, with us. Lives all around us in all of life. As a king has this big army, what type of army does Christ have?
Army of love.
An army of love. The sword of love and forgiveness. That is us. We're the followers of the king. And Christ reigns by love and justice and mercy. So Christ is a king. The king, but it's the exact opposite of what we think a king should be. So let us pray. Count to bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that you are the true king.
Thank you that you are the true king.
Amen.
first reading today is from Daniel 7. Hear now the word. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night's vision, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We will sing the psalm today, Psalm 93, on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll begin with the light print, and please respond by singing in the dark print. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord has made the world so sure that it cannot be moved. The waters have lifted up, O Lord, the waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves. Testimonies are very sure, and the holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
Our second reading today is from Revelation 1. Hear now the word. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priest serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Holy wisdom, holy word.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate asked, So, you are a king? And Jesus answered, You say that I am. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate answered, What is truth? This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Well, friends, we find ourselves in the courtroom today. Any fans in the audience of Perry Mason? I think we could do all kinds of other courtroom dramas, but we all love the drama of the courtroom. And I will argue, though, within that courtroom drama, there's a sub-drama of which our text this morning is, I think, the first example, or is the first example in ancient history of this type of subgenre, and that is the genre of the reversal. Right? Perry Mason is great with the reversals. But the reversal happens when your defendant there, all the evidence is against the defendant. The case seems hopeless. And then at that moment, when all seems lost, our brilliant defense attorney asks that seemingly random question that has no connection whatsoever to the case. And in that moment, there's that reversal. As that seemingly random question seems to put the witness now on trial. The defendant is innocent. The person testifying against them is the guilty party. This is Perry Mason 101. But it's also a great example is in this iconic film I'm sure we have all seen called A Few Good Men. It has all the same reversals in there too. A couple Marines are standing trial for murdering one of their fellow comrades in arms. The case seems hopeless. The commanding officer has just taken the stand. And our brilliant defense attorney is at a loss for words. But then the random, seemingly unimportant question, do your men always obey your command? And this, of course, leads to that most iconic scenes we have ever seen in movies. With our attorney asking for the truth, and the response is, you can't handle the truth. And in that moment, the reversal. Now, that commander is the one standing trial for the murder, because he's the one who ordered the whole scheme. And I will argue today, friends, that the only way to understand our gospel text, and in fact to understand this whole meaning of this whole day of Christ the King, is through this reversal. In our gospel, we are at that point where Jesus is on trial. Or at least we're supposed to believe this is Jesus' trial. But the person really on trial is Pilate. The whole case revolves around what power Pilate has. And we turn, and it turns out in the end, Pilate has no power. Pilate is the tragic figure in this case, the one who should have all the power. But Pilate cannot do the one thing he wants to do. What he wants to do is release Jesus, because he knows he's innocent. But he has, in the end of the day, no authority or power to do that. Jesus will even tell him, "You have no authority but what I give you." And in this first or the second scene of this seven-scene act of Pilate and Jesus, we think it is Pilate who is doing the questions, but if you notice, it's always Jesus asking Pilate the question. Jesus is the questioner. "Who do you say I am?" And yes, friends, that's Jesus' question to his disciples. So the question is, will Pilate be a disciple or not? And this leads to that seemingly unimportant statement or question from Jesus. Jesus says, and this time I wrote it down, friends, so I won't forget it, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the "you can't handle the truth" moment in the trial. And what is Pilate's response? What is truth? Do you see the reversal? This is not a philosophical question. Pilate is not asking what in the general the truth is. Jesus has just said, "Whoever it belongs to me, listens to the truth. Whoever listens to the truth belongs to me." Pilate has just confessed to not knowing what the truth is. Just said, "I don't belong to you." It's the point in the trial where the reversal occurs. Pilate stands guilty. Guilty of refusing to follow. Guilty of refusing to see that the truth is right in front of him. And in his own words, condemns himself. It's the reversal. This is Pilate's trial. And today we call it Christ the King Sunday. Because our faith, our scriptures proclaim Christ the King. But it is nothing like any king we have ever seen in the world. A king who rules in power and might with armies. A king ultimately, and as we could say the same thing with the state today, the ultimate power of the state is to cast that death sentence, to enforce their will ultimately by force, violence. That is the ultimate expression of the king's power. And we hear a reversal there in this story, in our faith, which says, the true power is not in taking life. The true power is found in the one who can resurrect life. If you can kill, but I can bring back to life, you have no power. There is that famous quote, and I know I've been geeking out with a lot of quotes lately, but one of my favorite books is the Dune series, and there's a famous quote that says, "Whoever has the power to destroy a thing has the ultimate power to control it." And that may be how we think in this world. Whoever has the power to destroy. destroy a thing has the ultimate power to control it. But our God, our faith says, you have not that power. Because you have no power to actually destroy it. This God has the power of resurrection. God has the power of new creation. The power to kill, the power of death is a finite thing. The power to bring back to life is eternal. To say that this is Christ the King Sunday is to say that God reigns by grace and mercy and love and life. That God's reign is now in our hearts so that we can follow that reign. And I would like to end it right there, but I want to make one final point, which may be the most important part. This up to now, everything I've said, I think we could all say amen to, not just all of us here, but the entire world of Christendom. Hallelujah and amen, yes. Currently, Christ reigns in grace and mercy and love and justice. But then, we have that but, right? But until Christ comes again, and then Christ is the granddaddy of all wicked kings, and there's going to be smiting and vengeance, and we get our day, and we're excited for that because we get to watch that grand show. And I don't think this is good enough. It's good enough, not good enough for our Christian imagination. Because if we hold on to that belief, then we can still harbor vengeance in our own hearts. Because we can only have to forgive for a little bit. We only have to love with grace and mercy for a little bit. Because when Christ comes again, he's taking off the gloves, rolling up the sleeves, and we're getting the popcorn out. No, friends. To say that God reigns as an upside-down king with grace and mercy and love is to say that this is the way God always reigns. That if it's to be a new creation, it has to be created differently than the world that we create. It can't just be a repeat. It's to say, Christ the King is to say that love wins. That when Christ returns, it's but a continuation of grace and mercy and love. Christ the King Sunday calls us to account, to believe in faith. That is the story of love that wins out in the day. And that story is a period, not a parenthesis. My friends, this reign of God began when Christ died and rose again. And every day we come forward and take of this table, we continue to renew it in our own lives. This table that says all are welcome. That you are welcomed into this kingdom of grace and mercy. And then we are to bring that out to the world. This is a God of love, a God of resurrection, a God of life that lives in us, around us, and has asked us to now go out in mission to spread that news. And that, my friends, is what Christ the King Sunday, I think, really means.
Amen.
Amen.
rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. Revive our congregations, synods, and national church body to reflect the love, justice, and kinship of your kingdom. Raise up diverse leaders like Justice Faulkner, Jehu Jones, and William Casavant, whom we commemorate today, who teach and serve your people. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nourish parched lands and bring relief to flooded places. Protect wildlife habitats and endangered species, that the chorus of God's of creation's praise resounds with joy. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Grant wisdom to the leaders who govern, legislate, and deliberate on our behalf. Advance your nonviolent reign of justice seeking love through their work. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Comforting God, be with all who are sick, suffering, or grieving in our own community and beyond. Especially Aaron, Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Jeanette, Dietmar, Michael, David, Lael, Cameron, Marty, Tisha, Sabina, family of David Cooper, family of Dolores Bennett, Our Savior Lutheran Church, victims of Hurricanes Helene and Milton, victims of the war around the world, national and world disasters. Draw near to those who are detained, on trial, or incarcerated. Transform systems of retribution into systems of reconciliation and restoration. Empower activists who advocate for change. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remind us of your enduring love in all seasons. Guide the planning efforts of worship leaders and volunteers who usher our congregation into a meaningful Advent. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
In your eternal presence, the saints sing of your majesty. Join our voices with theirs in praise to the one who loves us and frees us from sin. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite us now to all stand as we sing our offering hymn. Maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. That we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. We thank you, for you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Praise
Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, we're going to do things a little bit differently today because we're trying to incorporate a healing service in once a month without abnormally extending the service time of our service. So during communion, we have a couple of extra assistants today to come up, and as communion is being served, I will be in the back at our baptismal font for anyone who wishes prayers. So as you come up and you circle back, feel free if you wish to have an anointing of oil and prayers to meet me back at the baptismal font. So we'll have a movement of up and around. So we'll do it kind of at the both times. Hopefully that makes sense. But of course, everyone is always welcome at this table, is always welcome in the back for prayers as our ushers come forward. We ask you to fill in our railing from right to left, to come with your hands outstanding to receive the element in your hand. And again, we always add that you can stand or kneel when you're at this table. All are appropriate, all are accepted, and anyone is welcome into whatever posture is best for you. Know that all who come will be served. Whoever wishes after being served, I'll be in the back to come back for prayers. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with the dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And friends, we're just going to pause for announcements. And we got a lot of announcements, so give a little bit of patience. So we'll be quick. But it is Thanksgiving weekend or week coming up, so happy Thanksgiving to all of you. The office will be closed Thursday and Friday, so we're trying to work overtime on Tuesday and Wednesday to get everything done. And with that being said, again, a happy Thanksgiving to you. Our other announcements are in the words of the week. And without further ado, I'm going to call up Sally to have some announcements.
Come on, sir.
Yeah.
So I'm loud. I'm okay. Well, you know I'm loud, right? Anyway, Social Ministry Committee wants to thank everyone for all your generosity this church year. And as a new church year starts, many of you may be wondering what you can do to help in our community make life a little better for those in need. And we are going to continue to offer a lot of opportunities here at Atonement. One of the things we are doing, it's bringing a microphone because I'm not loud.
Okay. One of the things we are doing is we are connected with Agape, which is the respite center that's taken over from Grace Winds Haven. If any of you remember Grace Winds Haven, it's a day center for those who are homeless or those who need extra help, and we will be trying to help them with their needs. Right now, they have some clothing needs. They need sweatshirts, sweatpants, underwear, socks. They also like instant type food, easy to use food, and small size hygiene items. Since they have installed a shower in their new facility, which is down Canyon Way behind the dentist office in that mobile home that's by the blue building there. So we have moved our cart. A couple of people have said the cart's gone from by the choir stairs. The cart is now in front of the glass windows of the office here at church so that we have more room for more things, because as the new year comes on, we will be collecting jewelry for Bejeweled, the fundraiser for Lincoln County Food Share, and we will get involved more with the winter overnight shelter with what they need too. There is also room in front of the windows by the office if you would like to donate pet food. Every month, volunteers, especially one special volunteer, divide up all the pet food into gallon bags for dogs and quart bags for cats, and we give those out at Stone Soup so that people don't have to share the meal we give them with their pets, so that their pets are fed too. We're going to be going into Advent, and I guess that by now Randy's chocolate Advent calendar is probably done. He told me 2 weeks ago there were only 3 more days till Christmas. But we are going to be doing a reverse Advent calendar, which reverse means instead of getting, you give. It'll be attached to your Waves, this Waves magazine for this month, and also we'll have copies on the table in the narthex starting next Sunday. So starting on the first day of Advent, if you'd like to take a box, maybe wrap it in gift wrap, maybe not, put it somewhere where you see it, and then every day put a shelf-stable food item in the box, and then on Christmas Eve or thereafter, bring it and set it by the barrel, by the side doors, and we'll donate that food to the Newport Food Pantry, which is located on the grounds of the Presbyterian Church, if you don't know about it. The other thing is, in the past many years now, we have had a giving tree where we've received gift cards from, gift wish tags from the foster parents in Lincoln County. I received word on Wednesday that the Foster Parents Association has dissolved and they will not be providing gift tags this year. We may be able to find another opportunity for you all to give through our church, but we don't have it at hand right now. And finally, I'd like to thank our Sunday school. They worked with Patty and me last Sunday to put together homemade gift cards and also little gift items with $50 gift certificates for each of the 11 families who live at Samaritan House. If you're on Facebook, you may have seen the very nice thank you that Samaritan House gave out to Atonement Lutheran Church for us helping families to have a good Thanksgiving this Thursday and provide the food they need for their families. And so Sunday School did a great job, and the folks of Samaritan House are grateful. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Allie.
Thank you.
That's all.
And now President Pete's got an announcement.
Well, as your president, and after hearing all that stuff about power during the sermon, I had second thoughts about getting up here. But first off, I want to thank you all, because your giving and your welcoming and the things you do give me all the power I need as president. It all comes from you people. What a great job you've done this year. We have a council meeting today, and in 2 months we will have our congregational meeting at the end of January. So I want you to be thinking about that and thinking about a nominating committee and thinking about if maybe you'd like to run for council and be on the council at this time. And if you would like to do that, then just see one of the council members. Could I have the council members stand up so everybody can see who you are? Marion's waving her hands behind the piano up there, and Tammy's upstairs too. So, but anyway, if you have a question, go to one of these people, and they'll fill you in on what a great duty it is and service you do as a council member. So, like I say, we have a council meeting today. There are open meetings, and you're welcome to attend. And if you'd like to be on that nominating committee, so you don't get nominated for a council committee position. See one of us and we'll put that together. Thank you.
And then finally, it's with some sad part that we have to announce that Dolores Bennett passed away, a longtime member, died on November 14th. So our prayers extend to those to that. And for those who don't know already, Jeanette Agnew is in the hospital in Corvallis. And our prayers extend to her and her family in this time of recovery and sickness. With all that being said, let us open our hearts now for the benediction. God Almighty, God most merciful, bless you, keep you, and give you
Thank you.
in peace, sir.